Chapter 4. It's almost 11 o'clock the next night when Callie and her pack show up at Derek's apartment. They're each doing their own thing at that moment. Styles is playing on his laptop. Scott and Allison are cuddled up with a movie, which Eric is also watching. Isaac's fallen asleep, curled up in a corner in his wolf form. Derek and Lydia are playing chess. They all feel them coming. And the tension in the apartment has tightened almost unbearably by the time there's a knock on the door. Styles goes over and opens it. Kelly smirks at him from outside and says,
"Time for your first test."
"Let's hear it," Styles says.
"Not here," she says. "You come with me. The rest of you, you know what to do."
Styles blinks at her, then gives a little shrug and a nod. He's only taken a step forward when he hears Derek growling. He looks over his shoulder and says,
"I'm pretty sure that the point is not to take me out behind the building and shoot me. Let's just get it over with, you know."
"I don't like it," Derek snaps. "There's no reason for us to be separated. The whole point of the Alpha trial is to make sure you can handle your pack."
"And I can," Styles says flatly.
Derek glares at him for a minute, but he knows what Styles means. He looks down and away, his eyes flashing blue-silver with anger. Styles nods and follows Callie out of the apartment. They go out into the parking lot, where she gestures to a motorcycle.
"Get on."
"Do you have a helmet?" Styles asks. Callie just gives him an incredulous look.
"I figured I would ask," Styles says, and gets on.
Callie gets on in front of him, and he wraps his arms around her waist, because whether he likes it or not, he's not about to fall off a motorcycle and die. Moments later, the motorcycle is zooming down the road. She makes several quick turns and heads out of town. Styles is curious about what this task is, but there's no point in asking her when he won't be able to hear a word she says. After about 15 minutes, she turns onto a narrow back road. They've gone in the opposite direction of the Hale house, and he doesn't know these woods very well. They drive for about another 5 minutes at a less breakneck pace, and then leave the road entirely. When they finally stop, they're in the genuine middle of nowhere. She parks her bike in a little clearing and says, "Get off."
"Not the chatty type, are you?"
Styles says, getting off the bike. He stands in the middle of the clearing and looks around. Trees, dirt, rocks. About what one would expect in a forest. It's lit only by the moon, which is nearly full.
"So, what are we doing out here?"
"At the moment, we're waiting for the others to get here," Callie says.
"Why didn't they just come with us?" Styles asks.
And Callie doesn't reply.
"Right then, shrouded in mystery. I gotcha."
He thinks about this for a minute.
"So, Derek was telling me about the last time he saw you. He doesn't seem to be a big fan of yours."
"What a coincidence," Callie says. "I'm not a big fan of his."
"Right," Styles says. "It's all his fault that Laura wouldn't join the Alpha Pack."
Callie turns on him, her eyes flashing crimson, anger in her every move.
"What the fuck do you think you know about it?"
"What I know?" Styles says, staying calm in counterpoint to her building fury, "is that you cornered Derek when he was already miserable and vulnerable enough and tried to coerce him into convincing Laura to join the pack. That tells me everything I need to know about you, Callie. You're nothing more than a two-bit bully. I've been dealing with people like you my entire life."
Callie's fists clench at her sides, and she says venomously, "If Laura had joined the Alpha Pack, she'd be alive right now."
"Is that what this is about?" Styles has to admit he's surprised.
"You blame Derek for Laura's death?"
"She should be the alpha of this territory," Callie spits out. "Not Derek, and certainly not you."
Styles considers all this quietly for a minute, adding up everything he knows to get a complete picture. Finally, he says, "I believe that you cared about Laura, but nobody loved her more than Derek did. He copes with her loss every day, and I watch him struggle with it. Derek accepted me as his alpha, and I will do my best to be an alpha that Laura would have been proud of. And that should tell you everything you need to know about me.
Oh, right, Kelly says, her voice dripping with sarcasm. Trials off. Let's all go home because you're trying to honor Laura's memory.
Stiles sighs. Okay, he says. Fine. I didn't really expect you to be reasonable, but it was worth a try. But if you use this trial as an excuse to hurt Derek, I will take you apart.
I'd like to see you try, little boy, she says.
He meets her gaze. No, he says. You wouldn't.
I'm not afraid of you, she snarls.
Neither was Peter Hale, Stiles says, and with that, he considers the conversation over. He takes his phone out and starts up a game to pass the time. He's still tapping away at his phone when the other alphas start to arrive. They do it one at a time, but within minutes of each other. Kelly waits with a stone expression until they're all there. Then she looks at Stiles, gives him a vicious little smile, and says,
Okay, call your pack.
Stiles blinks at her.
What?
Bring your pack here. Call them to you.
Seriously? Stiles asks. That's all I have to do?
Kelly laughs in his face. As if you even can. Stiles stares at her for a long minute. Then, completely deadpan, he lifts his face to the sky and says, Arr! There's a snort of laughter from both Yasmin and Justin, and a faint smile touches May's face. Kelly doesn't seem to think it's as amusing.
Are you making fun of me, you piece of shit?
Sweetheart, I don't have to, Stiles says. A wise man once said, never argue with an idiot. They'll drag you down to their level and then beat you with experience. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going back to my game. He sits down on the forest floor and pulls his phone back out. At least he still has reception. So, how far away is my pack?
They've been left in several places around the forest, May says. The furthest is probably about 20 minutes away. For a wolf.
Stiles looks up. What about Allison?
Yes. It's Ravender who replies. We left your beautiful brunette with her mate.
Very thoughtful of you, Stiles says, tapping away at his screen.
Well, we didn't want to be out here all night, Yasmin replies.
Just think, Callie says, with a viciously sweet smile. That means in about half an hour, when none of them can find you, I'll get to rip you to pieces.
We'll see, Stiles says, and continues playing his game.
After a few minutes, the wolves shrug and settle down in the clearing as well. It's a nice night. A little chilly, but overall not too bad. Yasmin is cuddled up with Justin, while the twins are both in their wolf form, which is also identical. May climbs up to sit in the first branch of a tree. Ravender has a small paperback book that he takes out and begins to read. Callie just continues to sneer at Stiles, and occasionally drop a comment as to how long he has left to live. It takes about 15 minutes before Derek shows up. Stiles gets to his feet when he feels him coming, and Derek rockets into the clearing in his full wolf form. He transforms as he lunges forward, though he doesn't shift all the way back to human. That's something of a surprise, because Derek doesn't spend a lot of time in the partial wolf form, unless he's expecting a fight. He immediately sweeps an arm around Stiles, standing between him and the majority of the alphas, lips curled and teeth bared in a snarl.
Derek, I'm fine, Stiles says quietly. They didn't hurt me.
Derek gives him a fierce glare, but then turns and embraces him, pressing his face into Stiles' hair and inhaling deeply. His grip is so tight that it's almost painful, but Stiles doesn't try to push him away. He just lets Derek hold him and murmurs into his ear, It's fine. I'm fine. After a long minute, Derek lets him go. Callie is staring at them in shock. The rest of the alphas merely look interested. Stiles gives Derek a look and says, "What, did you just leave your clothes in the middle of the forest somewhere?" Derek scowls. "They would have slowed me down." "Yeah, by 15 seconds, maybe," Stiles says, shaking his head in amusement. "Let the man work. Some of us enjoy the view," Yasmin says, craning her neck around. Justin laughs and gives her a playful nip on the ear. Before anyone else can discuss Derek's nudity, both Erica and Lydia come running up from separate directions. Unlike Derek, they've stayed in their half-shifted forms, because they did not want to be naked. Other than that, their entrance is very similar. Since Derek is still facing Stiles with an arm wrapped around his shoulders, Erica almost immediately presses herself to Stiles' back, facing outwards and snarling at the assembled company. Lydia practically has to shove her way in between the two of them to press her cheek to Stiles in greeting and make sure he's okay. "Guys, I'm fine, oof!" Stiles grunts as Lydia tries to elbow her way in. Callie is glaring at them, though, given the way Erica is growling at her, that's probably understandable. Stiles is wondering how he's going to handle that little disaster, since Erica's temper can be volatile at times, when Scott runs up. Allison is on his back, though the ride can't have been easy on her. She looks a little nauseous. Werewolves don't have the smoothest of paces. As soon as they come into the clearing, Scott goes directly over to Stiles to add himself to the protective layering of wolves he now has. Allison, for her part, shoots a glance over at Stiles to make sure he's all right, and then gets right in Callie's face. "You mangy, flea-bitten bitch," she snaps. "I could have made it here on my own. Just because I'm a human doesn't mean I'm weak. You don't have to pander to me, you—" "Allison," Stiles says, a little surprised, but wanting to intervene before Callie can rip her face off, which looks like it's about to happen any second. Allison gives Stiles a fierce glare. "It was an insult," she says, "and it wasn't necessary." "No, it wasn't," Stiles says, "but it's done, okay?" She holds his gaze for a minute, but then subsides. "It won't happen again," she says. "Right," he agrees. "They've learned their lesson, I'm sure." It looks like Callie has something to say about that, but then Isaac jogs up. He's a little less vehement than the others in his immediate checking of Stiles, but does it just as overtly. Stiles lets out a sigh, part relief, part exhaustion. "Okie dokie," he says. "Here's my pack. I've passed the test. Can we go home now?" "How did you do that?" Callie asks, her eyes starting to glow red as she stalks forward. Stiles meets her gaze evenly, but he can feel the tension rising inside the clearing. "Why are you asking me that?" Callie stops, momentarily taken aback. "Why?" "Yeah," Stiles says. "Why?" "Because you shouldn't have been able to do it." "Oh, really?" Stiles asks. "So you gave me a task that you thought I wouldn't be able to complete." "I did. Does it really matter how I completed it? You told me to call my pack here, and I did." "You cheated." "Cheated?" Stiles manages to sound incredulous, even though he's really not surprised at all by Callie's behavior. "How can I cheat at a game which has no rules?" Her gaze lands on his phone. "You contacted them with that." "So what if I did?" Stiles asks. "You didn't say I couldn't." "Let me see it." Callie grabs at the phone. Before she can move more than an inch, Derek is between them, pushing her away, already back in his half-shifted form. Callie snarls at him, her features starting to change. Stiles grabs Derek by the shoulders and pulls him back about an inch. "Touch my phone, and I'll break your fingers," he snaps at Callie. "I did what you asked me to do. We're done here." "I can always decide you failed the task," Callie snarled. "Oh, for Christ's sake, Callie!" Justin suddenly intervenes, sounding completely exasperated. "Are you for real? He did what you told him to do. Let it go already.
It's after midnight. My butt is soaked from sitting on the wet ground. I haven't had sex in over 8 hours, and I'm freaking starved. You can do what you want, but Yaz and I are leaving. Callie stares after them with her mouth open as the two of them link hands and start to walk away. May jumps down from her perch in the tree, gives an elegant shrug, and follows them. After a pause, the twins pad away, still in their wolf forms. Ravender gives Stiles a polite nod, almost a half bow, and then turns to join the rest of the pack. Finally, realizing that she's been beaten, she turns to Stiles and says, "You won't get off so easy next time." Stiles can't help it. The sudden release of tension has him slightly giddy. "That's what she said." "Oh my God, Stiles!" Erica begins to laugh hysterically. Lydia punches him in the shoulder. Callie turns and flounces away. "That was epic," Scott says, plopping on the ground to join Erica in her laughter. "Did you see the look on her face?" Before long, all of them are laughing, except Derek. However, his scowl has unbent into a mere frown, which, given the situation, is more than Stiles would have expected. It takes a while for the hilarity to subside. "I can't believe you stonewalled her like that," Allison says, shaking her head. "It's easy to stonewall someone who's already made up their mind," Stiles says. "I do that with Mr. Harris all the time. He's way scarier than her." "What you should have done is ask her to figure out where Derek was hiding his phone in that case," Isaac says, gesturing to the older wolf. This gains another burst of laughter. "I left it with my clothes," Derek says. "Obviously," Lydia replies. "I don't need a phone to find my alpha." Derek glowers at all of them. Then he pauses and says, "But the GPS coordinates at least let me know which direction to start in." Stiles snorts with laughter and then hauls himself to his feet. "Come on, guys. It's late. I'm tired, and I get the feeling that the next task will not be as much fun as this one." After they've walked back to where Derek shifted so they can pick up his clothes, it occurs to them that they're at least 10 miles out of town, probably more, with no way to get back. They're all in good shape, but even for the wolves, it would be quite a trek. "How did you guys get out here anyway?" Stiles asks. "They had a couple of cars," Scott says. "They drove us out here, and then we each followed one of them. Allison and I followed the twins, that is, and everyone else had their own alpha to follow." "And they didn't give you a hard time?" Stiles asks. "No. Actually, overall they were pretty reasonable about it," Lydia says. "After Callie left with you, and, some of us were getting a little antsy, Justin told us that Callie was taking you to an undisclosed location and we would have to find you. That calmed us down. We didn't like you leaving alone with Callie, though." "Yeah, I think I gave as good as I got talking to her," Stiles says. "So, you guys were in a car. Callie brought me out here on her motorcycle. She was driving pretty fast. But I don't know exactly how far we were taken." "I don't know these woods very well," Derek says. "Maybe this is another test?" Isaac suggests. "Like, see how well we handle being stranded out in the middle of nowhere?" Stiles has to admit it's plausible, but from Justin's attitude when they left, he doubts it. It's something he has to consider, though. Then he shrugs and says, "Screw it," and takes his phone out again. "I'm calling my dad to come pick us up." "He'll love us forever," Lydia says. "Are you kidding?" Stiles says. "I'm calling him for help when I'm in a jam, instead of trying to handle it myself. This is like Christmas for him." He grins, and both Derek and Scott let out a snort of laughter. "Besides, he's on duty tonight. He'll still be up." He taps a few buttons on his phone. His father picks up on the first ring. "Hey, Dad," Stiles says. "So, I had my first alpha trial tonight." "How'd it go?" his father asks. "Oh, I kicked its ass," Stiles says. "They were all very impressed." But, then they left us all out here in the middle of the forest with no way of getting back to town. How would you feel about coming to pick us up?
Sheriff Stalinsky sighs. Where are you?
I'll text you the GPS coordinates. Let your smartphone be your guide.
His father gives another audible eye roll. Okay, I'll be there as soon as I can.
Since they're obviously going to have to wait, and it's getting a little chilly as they get into the wee hours of the night, Allison and Erica build a campfire. Derek sits a fair distance away from it, because he's not a huge fan of fire, and Stiles sits with him. He's not cold anyway. The adrenaline is still coursing through his system. It's clear that Callie doesn't intend for him to pass his trial, but the others are not so easily swayed. If they're going to judge him impartially, he has a chance. Of course, Ravender was right when he said that Callie will pick at least one trial he can't possibly survive, but there's no use in worrying about that until he gets there. His father arrives about 45 minutes later, in one of the police vans. It's not exactly comfortable, but it's better than trying to cram all seven of them into his patrol car. Stiles sits up front with him and tells him about the trial, while the others ride in the back. His father seems to share his view that things are only going to go downhill from here, but mostly keeps his opinions to himself. He drives them back to Derek's apartment. As soon as they get out, Scott and Lydia both stiffen.
Hunters, Scott says. I can smell them.
Stiles nods.
They know we're here now, so they'll stake this place out as well as the hotel, waiting to try to catch us at a vulnerable moment.
Derek's scowl deepens as his eyes flick to the forest.
No, Stiles says, not now. I'm not sure how we're going to deal with them, but I don't think we'll be able to come at them head on, not without taking casualties.
He lets out a breath. Come on, guys. It's late. I'm tired. Despite that, he's unable to sleep. While the rest of them curl up in the pile of cushions and blankets that makes up Derek's bedroom, he gets up and starts baking. He always likes to bake when he can't sleep. It's productive, methodical, but not difficult. After two batches of cookies, he finds his eyes sagging. He makes himself some green tea, and then crawls into bed with the others. Derek stirs a little, but doesn't really wake. The next day, upon waking, Scott says, "Maybe you should bring some cookies out to our stalkers." Erica smacks him upside the head. "Don't encourage him, numbnuts!" Stiles laughs. "That's what was missing when I went to the hotel. I should have brought ginger snaps. I would have had them literally eating out of the palm of my hand." Derek gives him an unamused stare. "You are the worst sort of person." Stiles leans against his shoulder with a smile.
"I know."